come before you, we recognize our inadequacy, Lord, and our weakness to receive your word and to deliver it. And so, Father, I ask you for fresh mercy. Lord, I understand that I'm a mere man. Help me. Have mercy on me. Grant me fresh unction and enablement to minister this word as an oracle of God. Let it flow out of me with power, with simplicity, with humility, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And let it do an internal work and permanent work, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated with the light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, that we will go out in greater determination and strength to be doers of all that we hear and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Lord, veils that are torn and removed. Thank you for yokes that are broken under the covenant of our fathers. Let, Lord, bodies be healed. Let, Lord, minds be enlightened. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones. Lord, let there be divine healing, Lord God, in our hearts and in our midst, in our bodies. So, Father, Lord, there will be a deliverance. There will be a strengthening. There will be an encouragement that comes to the body through our ministration in your presence today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for mercy to be faithful. I ask, Lord, help me to be concise and to be precise. Lord, redeeming the time. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, using my words, Lord, sparingly, Lord, to bring forth things new and old out of the treasure of your word, causing us, Lord, to be edified, and the name of Jesus to be glorified, our fathers to be blessed and refreshed, and our lives to be transformed, having been in your presence. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great privilege for me once again to bring the word this morning, and I'd like to give honor to my father and my mother in the Lord, who have given me the great honor and the privilege to bring the word this morning. I thank you so much, sir and ma. I thank you for the force of your example that really keeps us on the straight and the narrow path. And I pray that as I minister this word, the Holy Spirit will help me, that it be a word of life and a word of refreshing to you and to all of my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 1. And in our last lesson, when we looked at verses 1 to 3, 1 Thessalonians 1 to 3, we saw three main things. That the apostle, in his characteristic way, was blessing the brethren. And in that blessing, he released the twin spiritual forces of grace and peace. It's not just nice sounding words. These are spiritual forces that keep us in the love of God. They keep us blessed. They keep us protected. They keep us nourished. So we have the enablement to be doers of the things that we hear. Because it's by doing that we enter into our destiny. It's very important to understand. So when he released that, and it's the same way Jesus did. Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17 verse 12. He says, I have kept them in my name. So real true spiritual leadership keep you by their character, by their lifestyle of consistent prayer, and by the instructions that they give. So when they're giving you instructions, they're not giving you things that they just read from the word. They're giving you things that they have read, they have processed by their lifestyle. So by their lives and by their experience, they can vouch for the word. And they give you an instruction, and then you come under their covering. See that? And you see the example in Jesus' ministry. We see that Judas, in spite of the fact that he was under a ministry as excellent as Jesus's, still didn't make it. Said, accept the son of perdition. We will not be sons of perdition in Jesus' name. So it's important to understand. So when you are under good leadership, it's important to understand that you have to stay in order. Stay under covenant with a submitted heart and obedience to instruction. That's the key that brings under the covering. It's not attending the church. You can attend the church and be disobedient to instruction. It is the doers that come under the covering. So we have to obey the instruction. God will give us the grace to be obedient in Jesus' name. We also saw last week that a very encouraging truth, that God will not forget our labor of love. He is not unrighteous. No, every time you walk in love, every time you choose to pray, every time you stand in faith and don't give up, God is marking it and putting it in his book The Bible says the books will be opened. And it's going to accrue to you for a full reward in Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give God a super clap offering. Amen. God is a good God. There is nothing you do that does not go unseen. Ask Mordecai. Mordecai spoke of when there was a secret plan against King Ahasuerus. Mordecai was one that heard of the plan and brought it out to light. Brethren, when you hear about things, do you bring them out? Or do you cover them up and say, it's none of my business? Mordecai didn't do that. He spoke of the plan and they arrested those two guys. And nothing was done. It's as if he did it in vain. But like mommy always says, righteousness has a payday. Amen. One day, when the day came, the king could not sleep. Esther chapter 6. Amen. We're not going to turn there. Just a recap. But the point is that, brethren, you should be encouraged. These are things you should keep at the back of your mind. That for everything I do, God, you see. Lord, you see my heart, you see my labor, you see my effort, and you will give me a full reward in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's very encouraging. And then we also saw that our faith in Christ must be a living faith. The Bible says that no faith without works is dead. So your faith must be a living faith. It must have works. What are the works? The works of believing. So you can see the invisible, the works of confessing, the works of praying and fasting, the works of giving thanks. Understand that you're not the one keeping yourself, even though you are operating spiritual principles. It is God who is keeping you through your obedience. So it's important to give thanks ever so often to recognize that you are not the root, you are not the you're just a branch of the vine. There is a vine that has a root and it's bearing you up. So for every fruit that you bring, for every good thing that you say, for every action that you did right, it is not you, it is God working in and through us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Give him a clap offering, amen. It's important for us to recognize that we're not bearing up ourselves. So give the weight over to God. The weight of doing the right thing, just turn it over to him. Oh Lord, help me. I know you will help me. You're a very present help. And just lean on him in faith. Alright, so your faith must have time. And then your faith, end of it all, is obedience. We must be obedient to the will of God. And you see, when our faith is like that, that's what he's talking about there when he says works of faith. Let's look at it in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remember without ceasing. Let's read together. Remember without ceasing. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. What's he saying here? He's saying that the works of faith that we do, praying, confessing, everything, it releases the wisdom and the power of God that enables you to labor in love the way Jesus did on the cross, forgiving those who crucified him. But then don't lock up the love of God in your heart. Release it by forgiveness. No matter what you're going through, don't stay in that situation. Turn it around and forgive. Ask for life. Pray in tongues and turn it around. The Bible says that nothing can drown love. Release that force of love. And Jesus did. It's the labor. It's labor to walk in love. It's labor to forgive. It's labor to do right when you don't feel like it. It's labor to be kind to the unkind. Is it not labor? It's labor. It's not easy. But the Bible says that when you labor and walk in love, that love releases a force of patience. Patience is a spiritual force. It's a spirit that keeps you doing what you're supposed to be doing diligently. So you now do it, but your diligence, of course, like Pastor has defined for us, is consistent, concentrated effort that is well directed. So as you do it and you do what you're supposed to do and you are consistent in doing it, guess what? You come into an experience, Romans 5 verse 5. And the experience of what God promised at the beginning, which is why you're doing what you're doing. So you go from experience to experience and you become a war veteran like Paul. You experience what the Bible says, not just because the Bible says so, you can experience it. That truly there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That truly when I walk in humility, I have peace. That truly when people do things against you and don't respond, you know, even though you are looking weak, you are strong. This is the key. And so when the experience gives us hope. So the next time God says, do this, you are more eager to do it because you've proven him that he's faithful. Amen. Look at Father Abraham. He didn't believe. God showed him and said, your children will be like the sky. And they will be like the stars in the sky. All right. And he held on to that word. He wasn't weak in faith. He was strong in faith. And he eventually obtained the promise. The experience of that promise made him strong. So when God said, give up the son, he gave him up. He gave him up. He didn't hold on to it and say, this is the son that he said. Oh, this is, how is it going to pass? Come to pass if you don't give. I'm not going to do that. No. Faith works patience. Patience works experience. Experience works hope. And hope does not make us ashamed. Because the love of God is there as a force to guarantee that every hope will come to pass. Amen, brethren. I put it, every hope God has given us is going to come to pass in Jesus' name. You will carry the glory of God. You will have incredible knowledge of witty inventions, incredible mathematical knowledge, incredible artistic skill, incredible music. You will carry that glory in Jesus' name. You will be meek and lowly in heart. This is a promise, and you must hold on to it. And God will bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to verse 4, and we'll start in verse 4. Amen. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, these are election that you didn't contest for. You are born into. You know, when people want to do election, they contest. And you have to sign and register. This one, you didn't register. Once you became a child, you are elected. You are elected to something. Amen. And brethren, this Thessalonian church was born in great persecution. All right. So it was important for Paul to remind them that, look, you are elected. No, you must understand what is the goal of your Christianity. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. Give it to me in the NIV, please. Let's read it together. Ephesians 4, 13 to 15. Thank you. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of... Next verse. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. What are the waves? People, circumstances, situations. Okay? And blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Next verse. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will what? In all things, grow up. Say the word, let's say grow up. Once again, grow up. Grow up where? Into him who is the head, that is Christ. That's a promise right there. You're going to fulfill it in Jesus' name. You're going to grow up in the fullness of Christ. So that is the election. We are elected to grow up into the fullness of Christ. In that fullness, receive the glory. And then carry that glory around the world and demonstrate it for men to see. That is the plan. So, you know, it's not how much money you have. When you have to choose between the glory and money, the glory and ambition, the glory and family, the glory, you choose the glory. That's how you make God first. This is the issue. All right. And we know, of course, that God does not predestinate people. He predestinates events. All right, no. So nobody's asked if God chose some people, but didn't choose some others. No, God predestinates events, and those who fulfill the conditions then become predestinated. Amen. That's the will of God. All right. And so, brethren, I want to bring out this morning that our reaction and our response when we are under affliction. You know, because Pastor preached the message. It's in the Word, but preached the message sometime recently that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. That the Holy Spirit baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, you know, sometimes we are required to go through fire. In fact, the Bible says, who will stand at his appearing? Who will stand when he comes? Jesus comes many times, he comes with fire. You know, his situations and afflictions and circumstances. And your response at that time, my response at that time, is key. It is in that fire that we are chosen. We must not be offended. We must not give up. No, it's important to understand that, you know, because you must obey. And that obedience takes you on to the fullness of God. Takes you on to the next thing God has for you. Disobedience takes you back. We will not disobey in Jesus' name. All right? So, brethren, let's respond in faith. You know, don't disqualify yourself. You have been elected. But no, being able to continue and progress and fulfill all that God has is entirely our decision. Because we have a free will. So we must respond in faith. You know, and how do we respond in faith? By watching and praying always. By watching and praying always. And you know, sometimes when you look at two Christians, you know the difference between them until circumstances come. Until the fire comes. And the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. And then you notice that somebody stands and somebody falls. And you wonder why. It's not God that did it. It is them that did it. Look at Ruth chapter 1. And just see the story of Ruth and Orpah. We will not be Orpahs. We will be Ruths in Jesus' name. Give it to me verse 8 quickly. I want to just show you by the help of those very quickly. The different levels that Ruth had to go through. So it wasn't an accident. There was something she was doing consistently every time based on what she and Orpah had been exposed to by being married to Jews and being introduced to the God of the Jews. There was something that was happening. It wasn't just an accident. Verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, they were actually following her. They had left the house. They were on their way back to Israel. Naomi was on the way. Orpah was with her and Ruth was with her. So Orpah started well. She started well. But you see, it's not just external following. It's internal following. You must be following the instructions. Otherwise, the day will set you apart. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Alright? Say, go, return each to her mother's house. And the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead. And with me. She meant this thing. It wasn't a test as far as she was concerned. She was just being... Be just releasing them. Don't feel under obligation. You have your whole life ahead of you. It was just out of love. Verse 10. Quick. And they said unto her, surely we will return with you unto thy people. That's step one. That's the first exam. They both passed. They both passed the first exam. Okay, next verse. Verse 11 to 13. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Remember Elisha and Elijah. Same thing. Are there yet any more sons in my womb? Are you going to get anything out of me? What else do you want to get? That they may be your husbands. Next verse. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I should hope, and I should have a husband also tonight, and I should bear sons. Next verse. Will you tarry for them since they were grown? Will you stay with them from having husbands? No, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Look, something bad. I'm so sorry to have brought you into all of this. You know, even if I'm going to have children again, can you wait until they grow up and marry them? Look, there's no point. There's nothing in this thing for you. Go back. This is step 2. Look at the response. 15. And they lifted up their voice and wept. At that point, Orpah went back. Because I want to save time. At that point, Orpah went back. And they lifted up their voice and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and went back. There's nothing in it for me. It's true. You made a correct point. There's nothing else. Let me just go and try and make the best of a bad situation. She was following for what was in it for her. Ultimately, the day will bring out what is in your heart. There's nothing the way you can hide it. And she said, behold, and then she told Ruth, that was step 2. Orpah failed step 2. Ruth passed. Look at step 3. Behold, your sister-in-law is gone back. You are alone unto our people and unto our gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16. And then Ruth now answered, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, this was the root of it, thy God shall be my God. Next verse. And then she now went to step 4. The one that she didn't even ask her. She now went. Next verse. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if aught but death part thee and me. Give God a cup of it. That is the kind of faith that enters into destiny. Amen. It's the same standard of faith, brethren. That's why we are sharing these things with us. Amen. God will help us to walk in this level of faith in Jesus' name. Verse 5. Let's move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 5. 1 Thessalonians. For our gospel came not unto you. I can't hear your voice. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Amen. All right. So the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not one preached with eloquent speech. It's not one that is preached with words that rhyme, that string words together, you know, unction to function, and stuff like that. You know, that's not the kind of gospel that makes an impact in people's lives. It sounds very pleasing to the ears. It tickles you intellectually, but really deep down in the heart, it doesn't bring substance. It doesn't even come in miraculous signs. How does it come? Look at the word. It comes in power and in the Holy Ghost. It comes with the power of God behind it, preaching the truth of the word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit backing it up, so that it comes with wisdom. It comes with conviction. And it enters into the heart. That is the word that it will resonate in everybody's conscience, that what you are saying is the truth. This is the issue. This is the type of word. And God is changing the priesthood to give us Samuels, and changing the kingship to give us David, so that the quality of the word that you hear will be the same in every church. You'll not be able to run from one church and go and hide in that church. Run from a church where they're preaching word and hide in the place where they're giving testimony. I'm going to Cocoa Beach, Florida. No. Everywhere you go, there'll be no hiding place. And the word will be the same. The same. That's the quality of what God is bringing. This kind of word requires humility. The vessel will stand out of the way so that God will be able to talk to his people direct, one-on-one. That is the kind of word that God is bringing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Amen. It is God that draws men. So men must stand out of the way. 1 Corinthians 1:23. All right. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are called. How many of us are called? Let me see your hand. Unto us. Okay. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Next verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. If I stand there before you, you know, I know somebody who's preaching from God, you know, doesn't have any eloquence, he's stronger and wiser than somebody who's telling you all those highfalutin English and there's no substance inside. That is the kind of word that makes a change. How do you know you will change? Because the word is an incorruptible seed. When it is deposited in your heart with the right power, it will just subdue every other seed. And it will grow up. And you will see the change, that your life has changed. This is what happened to the Thessalonians. And notice what he said in verse 5. He said, for you know what manner of men we were among you. It's very important that leaders, by their manner of life, there is what you call the force of example. Force of example, where you see somebody's example. And as you are thinking about wickedness, when you sleep, when you dream, you will see them, you're telling you, if you try that nonsense, it's God. It's the force of an example. With the force of where men live what they preach. So they are a standard. It's God talking to you, but who you saw in your dream was the man of God. It's who you saw in your dream, but it's God. Because he's using that man is no longer just an ordinary man. God is using that man as standing in his stead. That man is a representative of God to your conscience and the word. He's proving the word that the word is alive. Amen. Brethren, it's very important. Amen. So it's very important to understand that. And this is the quality. This is why God is changing the priesthood, so that you can have men like Noah, Samuel, Job. But God said, the Bible says he found grace. Find grace. Men that will lay their lives down and become an epitome of godliness to men's consciences. This one is not about how many people are agreed or something you do physically. This is in the heart. God is judging it in the heart. And men can bear witness. And I thank God for the leadership that we have in this house. Amen. Everywhere we go. Everywhere. Brother, what kind of clap is this? You don't appreciate the leadership that we have. I'm telling you the truth. Brother, everywhere I go, people tell you, oh, I've heard. What do you mean? I know Pastor Lubia and Auntie Sarah now. And some of the Auntie Tokes. Some of the Auntie Sarah. And I know them. Ah, Pastor Lubi, he taught me. Some people, they don't know him as a pastor. They know him as a teacher of physics in one school in Kutai. And decided, what a man. Why? Because when he was teaching, it was not just physics. It was physics with godliness. It was with godliness. Brethren, same way we should be too. When you are a student with godliness. You are a parent with godliness. You are a banker with godliness. You are a teacher with godliness. Everything with God, it must permeate everything you do. A musician with godliness. Yes! Introduce a new standard. Rather than follow what everybody else is following. That's how you make an impact and make manifest in men's consciences. Amen. Next verse. Verse 6. God will have mercy on us. And you have become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother, when we receive the word, when we truly receive the word, you cannot remain the same and receive the word. You know, it does a change on the inside. So when the undiluted, anointed word is received into the human heart, it brings light. Psalm 119 verse 130. Say, the entrance of thy word giveth light and gives understanding to the simple. So you begin to see things you never saw before. You now understand that apart from this physical world, there is a spiritual world. And that one is the real world. And this one is just a replica of that one. And that one is one we're going to live eternally. So it changes your whole paradigm thinking. Your whole mindset is changed. You mean there's another life? There is. As you are living this life, there is a record in another life. Right at the same time. So the question is, what life are you living for? This is the question God is asking us. So we have revelation knowledge and God opens up our hearts. You know, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Thank you. 1 Peter, thank you. Whom have you not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet what? Believing. You what? Rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of? Joy is full of glory. Amen. The hope of the glory. So it makes you, that hope of glory gives you joy. And that's where your strength comes from. So no matter what's going on the outside, you can always overcome it. That is the will of God. That will be overcomers. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. But there's one key principle that we need to understand. That when look at the next verse. When you have this joy, receiving the end of your faith, even the word salvation of your soul. So you don't stop there and just say, oh, I received Jesus. I have joy unspeakable. You start on a journey. And that journey is taking you to the end of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your soul, the receiving of the glory, and the demonstration of the glory unto the nations of the world. That is the end. So, you don't just get born again and stay there. You get born again and work the journey. Start the journey and enter into the destination of the fullness that God has demanded. Now, but one key thing is important here, and I need to mention that. And it is this, that all this works this way. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. Provided the vessel is sincere. Sincerity is required. Many times they say, for God so loved the world, he came and gave his only begotten. Very true. And it comes to us like that, free. It comes free. But no, to really get something out of it, it's not cheap. It's going to cost you something. And that something is sincerity. Look at the woman at the well. The John 4:14. We don't have time. Just John 4:14, chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. I'll just tell you, and then you can check it up later. But this is the key I want to bring out. Here, Jesus Christ is telling her, look, if you knew who I was, I'll give you water from this well of life, and it'll be a well inside you, spring it up into everlasting. And she says, give me this water. She told me, give me this water. And the next thing he asked her was, go and bring your husband. Why? He wanted to check whether she was really ready to get the water. Are you ready for more of God? You have to be more sincere. And she said, I don't have a husband. It wasn't exactly the whole truth, but to the degree that you can tell a stranger, it was the truth. So God just took that little blade of sincerity. It wasn't the full thing, just a little blade. And of course, I told her who he was like, huh? I perceive you are a prophet. But the key is this. She had to be sincere to get the living water. She now dropped her water pot, like Papa Rav has preached to us, and became a water pot and went back to the city to come and see a man who told me all I did. He has summarized my life in one sentence. That's God. But how do you do that? Sincerity. Be sincere to the truth that you hear. Brethren, we have to be. Don't hear things and drop them aside. Remember, the Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And God is angered, Romans 1:18, by the unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Stop suppressing the truth. It's a natural inclination we all have. Before you start saying it's not me, all of us have it. The Bible says that when light comes, that men love darkness more than light. You, me, everybody. But you can separate yourself from that group. Amen. I say separate yourself from that group. Separate yourself from that group and start doing truth, loving truth, embracing truth. And then God is light, because God is light, and in him there is no, thank you, sir, there's no darkness at all. So when you receive the light, it shows you who you really are. You can compare. Don't just receive for receiving sake. Compare. Am I like that? Is he really like that? I'm not like that. Lord, have mercy on me. Please help me to change. Now you're moving forward. That's what God wants. Amen? Very important that we understand, okay? Verse 7 and 8. Let's read this together. 7 and 8. Thank you. So that you are ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Next verse. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread where? Spread where? Abroad. So that we need not speak anything. What a, give them a super clap offering. Brethren, our faith will be like this. In Jesus' name. They will not need to say anything about you. Your life will speak so loudly. This, you'll be a written epistle known of all men. This is the will of God. So this is what God, like Leah Sharibu. Did you know her before? But her life did what? Spoke out loudly the little truth she knew. She was sincere to it, and she held on to it, even when it was not convenient. Hallelujah. And she stood on it, and you heard her name in Nigeria. You are the people in the north, they heard her name. That's the Macedonia. We are Achaia. We are even further away. We heard her. There are people all over the world have taken up our cause. Amen. Faith sounding out. Your faith must sound out. Is your faith quiet? Is it a whimper? Is it a whisper? Or is it a sound of a trumpet out for the whole world to hear? Our faith in Christ must be impossible to hide. You must wear it proudly and boldly. I'm a Christian. And we came to do conference work, but we are Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. You say it without apology. Yes! That's the kind of faith that we have. And not just words, you live it. we live in. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Ah, Lord, have mercy on us. Father, in Jesus' name, I have life. Ah, Holy Spirit, thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Amplified. Give it to me in Amplified. Quickly. Let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth. Now, I was talking to Timothy about you, but I want to put it to you. Don't let anybody despise or think less of you because of your Christianity. Don't be afraid to tell anybody that I'm a Christian. Doesn't mean that you don't know what's going on in the world. Doesn't mean that you're not smart. Doesn't mean you're not intelligent. It just means that you love God. And it's number one. Nothing to be apologetic about. You have to be proud about it. Amen. But be an example. Be a pattern everywhere you go. If you go to a party, be a pattern. You went to a party yesterday. Did you see Pastor Mommy as the pattern? Hallelujah. Even in dancing, pattern. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is. You are a pattern. You demonstrate Christ. If the sound will go out. That's the way it's supposed to be. For believers, where? In speech. In what? Conduct. In love. In faith. And in purity. Brethren, our faith must have these characteristics. Yes, so it must have these characteristics. We must see our faith in the kind of words you speak. When you are angry. The kind of words you speak when you're angry. I won't say anything. You know better than I do. Amen. Use the kind of words, I'm going to use four letter words. Talk like the world. Because you're angry. Your faith is a whisper. We can't hear it. We can't hear the sound. What we are in is the world. We must hear your faith. It has a sound. Amen. Your conversation, your way of life, where your priorities are, where your loyalties lie. We must see it. When everybody else is coming late and they come at 9 o'clock and they mark 8. 7:55. And you saw the person that came with you, that carried you and gave you a lift. It was 7:55. And you ride there 9 o'clock. Your faith is sounding out. It's a way of life. Yes! You are late, you are late. If you don't repent and ask God to help, you will never come early. You will always plan to come early. And you come later and later and later and later. Why? Because you're dealing with a spiritual force. And dishonesty shuts you out from God, who is the only person that can help you. Very important. All right? So don't get mercy, you don't get grace. Amen? All right? Charity, fruit of the Spirit. Bringing forth that one. If you don't pass step one and step two, how will you pass this one? That's why, fruits in love, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, showing mercy, patience, temperance. They serve food. Went to party yesterday. They gave you a menu. It's oriental. There's African. There's English. There's in between. And the food is good. And they're asking you, do you want? And it's like, Lord have mercy. I have to live a fasted life. Your faith is speaking. It's not wrong to eat, but it's wrong to eat too much. So you have to, you eat well, but then at the same time, you make sure you don't indulge. People see. You're not doing it because of people, but people see. When you walk in love with temperance and patience, consistency, people see it. And it ministers to people. Amen. Of course, next verse. Spirit, which is attitude. Reverence. When they correct you. What is your attitude like? When you are unfairly accused, what is your attitude like? I have to be like Jesus, submissive, quiet, and wait for an opportunity to say something. Or if it doesn't come, you keep quiet. Look for an opportune time. God sees. And people are marking. And they're marking it. Tick. went to that fire with A class. Esther, tick. You're not doing, don't do things to win in front of men. I will prove to them. Nobody can put me down. Eh? Amy. Amy. Omotani. Omotani. Homo. Who's child? You know, Amy Omo means my language. It means, you know, I don't want to translate. Let me interpret. Is that I know whose child I am. That's what Amy Omo, I know whose child I am. Question is, whose child are you really? Natural or spiritual? This is the key. That's what we want to see. That's what we want. Your faith must sound out. You call it a small thing, but this is an opportunity for your faith to sound. Don't miss these opportunities. And they are looking for the big one. No, brethren, it doesn't work like that. Okay? All right. So we subordinate ourselves to instruction, to obedience. Faith demonstrated trust in God and purity. Your motives. Our motives, our decency, the way you dress. Your faith must sound out. I know you're young, you're 16, you're single, you want to live your life. I understand that. But you have to live it for Jesus. And we must see it in your dressing, in your makeup. And boys, when you wear your shirt, the way you wear your shirt, the haircut that you have on your head. Yes! Give God a clap offering. The haircut you have on your head. Your faith must sound out. Yes, I will tell them, sir. Your faith must sound out, brethren. When you are small, you are acting like a child. But when you are old, you leave childish things. 16, 17, are you a baby again? You tell me that you go and cut your hair. But you look looking rough. Who does that bring glory to? If you wear your hair where it needs, and people say, your parents say, I don't like this hair. Cut it! Don't let hair stand between you and growth. Don't let hair stand between you and the glory of God. Don't let hair stand between you and obedience. Ordinary hair that will grow back, for crying out loud, it's going to grow back. Or your baby, the small one that is coming out, as you are trying to show everybody, Lord have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, all right, so this is how our faith must stand out. Let's say together, word, conversation, charity, attitude, faith, and purity. Words are not necessary. When you have these things sounding out, words are not necessary. Don't say anything, because this is a Christian. This is a Christian. Verse 9 and 10, let me just round up. We can't finish this. Verse 9 and 10, amen. It says, I think we just round up here. I mean, let's just round up here. Brethren, I believe God has said what He wants to say to us this morning. All right? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Someone wants to say, there are obstacles to faith. And don't let your faith have obstacle. And that is affecting it from coming out. Remove the obstacles. Put down your reputation. And put down your attitude. Put down your ambition. Put down offense. And let your faith sound out so that people will hear and know, this is a Christian by the grace of God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Bow our heads to pray. Talk to God. It's the little things, it's in the little foxes that we overcome. Speak to God in your heart. Respond to the truth. Respond to the truth. Is there truth you've not been responding to? Taking it for granted? Heard it so many times? You assume you're doing it, but you're not. It's time to repent. Ask God to help us. Grow in sincerity. Even though you're not breaking the law and your sin rate has dropped, don't congratulate yourself. You're going to a zero sin rate. That's where we're going. Ask God, help me. The thought of foolishness is a sin. Repent of it. Whatever is not of faith, if God didn't tell you, keep this hairstyle, and you are insisting, you're in disobedience over ordinary hairstyle, what will you now do with the weightier matters of the kingdom? If for the hairstyle, you can't submit your hairstyle to God's, to the will of God. Knowing to do good and not doing it. You know who did it, you know who said it, but you keep quiet. And they asked you. Let's say they didn't ask you, could have an excuse. But they asked you direct. And you lied. Then you go back and say, sorry, Lord. No, your faith is not sounding out. You must tell the truth. And ask God to have mercy on us. And little things, we overcome the little things. I love you, Lord, and I lift my worship to worship you. Oh, my soul. Confess my sins of not allowing the faith of Christ to sound out ever so loudly to all around me. I come to ask you for fresh mercy. I repent and I forsake of my omissions and my commissions, and I come to ask you that my faith will be a sweet sound, my life will be a sweet sound, my testimony will be a sweet sound to you, my King. bringing you joy, bringing you refreshing, that my faith, my speech, my attitude, my manner of life, my works, my purity will sound out to all around me and bring you glory, so that words will not be necessary to show men that I love you and I will serve you all the days of my life. I thank you, Father, for your fresh mercy to be faithful and grace to be diligent, more diligent than I've ever been. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Pray with all your heart. Zako sheke kambo bideya. Reba bobo. Baka kombidi ke kasoa. Rambe bebe bebe pekele beberia. Rapakaro. Maleleya. Rele debeya. Bari nabaya. Jekele bebele. Mele bebetuka. Rapa bamba bakato. Onda bide. Rabo. Bale. Shekai. Rode ma. Toman zanzam. Kondebe. Rode bebebe. Bele lebes. Rele lebekaka. Bekele beberia. Rambo beya basa. Shekele bebele. From the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.